So Aga, where do we start?
Hey, this is Aga and Werner, and this is Catching the Next Wave podcast, where we discuss the future of design. Today, we have an awesome guest, Andy Sondak. Andy is a program manager of the Experience Design Professional Program at Chaos Pilot in Denmark. If you've never heard about Chaos Pilot, check it out. It's a seriously interesting place. Andy's passion is to use experience design to solve wicked problems and also to design experiences and facilitate processes to expand the collective potential of people. Andy is a teacher of experience design, and also he's focusing on measuring and understanding human experience to create meaningful experiences.
First of all, thank you so much for having me. It's just an absolute pleasure to be on this podcast.
What was the best experience that you had?
The moment that I first held my daughter. My wife had an emergency C-section. And so it's like extremely crazy. So many people coming into the room and in many ways, very alienating and very sort of mechanistic. But they did an amazing job. I was so impressed. They did these small gestures, such as they put the hat on the baby when she first came out. And then when the baby had to go to the NICU, they left the hat with my wife. And that was like this small touch that I thought, yeah, it really made a difference in a way, and that they, in all of this hecticness, prioritized that. You know, one of the things that I think is really interesting with experience design is just that experience is everything. And so when you talk about designing experiences, you have to make decisions. You have to make decisions about what is it that is most important. Yeah, the medical industry is a really interesting example, and they have been designing experiences for a very long time because they are very quantifiable that when patients have a good experience, they recover faster. So they have to get quite good at what are the specific moments that are most important to create that experience.
We're talking about experience design in a professional sense, but then you look at experience design much broader. You make it very personal.
A really important thing that we try to focus on when we design experiences is that all of our memories are told as stories. So really focusing in on how can you make this a very easy story for someone to tell, and how can you make this the story that you want people to tell about this experience?
What is your motivation for doing what you are doing?
One of the things that I believe is that we do not fully understand experience. And when we design the entire world in a sort of wrong vision of what the human experience is, we get friction and challenge and conflict. And so I really think it's important for people to reflect deeply and understand what makes their own experience meaningful and good, and work to bring these deeper values that actually make our experience meaningful and fulfilling as human beings.
I'm very much inspired by the positive psychology, where they say that the ultimate goal of us as humans is to be happy. But on the other hand, why are businesses going to be interested in doing this in the first place? For them, bottom line is that whatever they are doing, whether this is UX, CX, experience design, anything else, that should bring a return on investment. How do you think experience design fits into the business world?
Experience designers are, as of 2017, the highest paid designers on average. That is, I think, a direct result of businesses starting to understand the true value that they can create and deliver to organizations. One fundamental value, and this is actually a former mentor of the Chaos Pilot Experience Design Program, every course we take in an expert. This woman is a dear friend, Carola Vershoor, amazing woman. She's now the head of innovation for a big Dutch engineering company. What she says is that the fundamental value and experience design brings is its integrative synthesis of the pieces of the value proposition. As organizations have to operate in increasingly complex external environments, experience design is a sort of common language, a common method for putting the organization together in a coherent way so that from the customer's perspective, things are in line, things are continually above expectation. Now we're seeing, you know, rise of customer experience design. But then at the same time, that's sort of triggering EX, the employee experience design. What we can actually do is integrate both of those things. Then you're really talking about a powerful design tool. It's actually designing organizations and designing the customer experience at the same time.
I like what you said about customer experience and then employee experience, but I would like to add a third leg to that, brand experience. If I take brand experience out of it, it feels like we might end up with generic experiences everywhere. And then when you add a little dip of brand experience, it means that experience design becomes something that differentiates a company.
I think that's an incredibly good point. On the wall of the Chaos Pilots, we have this quote, and it just says, "Fuck business without culture." You know, and a lot of people, when they come, they like take a picture of that and stuff. But it's really a deep value that we have at the Chaos Pilots, which is brands should be original. You should be able to tell your story. You should have a personality and you should bring atypicalness. How we work with that is we work with a high concept that the brand should have, which is really all about what is the over-controlling narrative for the brand. And that can then be reflected into the customer experience as well as the employee experience, and to deliver this holistic personality for the organization.
And that differentiating factor is then something you can measure, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And we're also seeing, one of my favorites is the Meaningful Brands Index. It's done by Havas Media Lab. What they're doing is they're measuring the brands that are perceived as adding value to people's lives. And then they're able to directly correlate and see the brands that are perceived as adding value to people's lives in general as their like the core of their mission, right? Their advertising is 400% more effective. Being perceived as a meaningful brand is extremely valuable and something that should be all brands should aspire to.
Wow, this is a very interesting point. How do you teach experience design at Chaos Pilot?
We strive to deliver a very pragmatic, hands-on, real-world experience where people work their real cases throughout the course. And then at the same time, deliver this magic that's showing rather than telling what experience design is. We're also very much involved in this learning experience design movement, which is a fantastic thing. Really design the course as an experience. One of the things that we do differently than most other educations is that we train people in professional skills, but also leadership skills to enable them to become better leaders of teams of designers.
I often get this question from people like, you're an experienced designer. What the hell does it mean? What it is that you do? How would you define that?
One of the things that I love about the field right now is it's really diversifying. There's sort of two main areas, at least that we deal with. And one is these people that are facilitating processes. So they can be a learning experience. It can be creating employee journeys in an organization, creating culture that are working with. And then we also have people that are working with directly designing new technologies.
Teaching experience, what does it mean? What it is that you do?
The actual Chaos Pilot education is 3 years long. It's been around since 1991. We're one of the oldest sort of these alternative business schools. I run the Experience Design Professional Program. The professional program is a three-day course. It happens in Aarhus, Denmark. People fly. This next course, we have people coming from 11 different countries. Each day has a different theme. So the first day, we call it the head, which is the research and the analytical, really trying to understand where are the leverage points in this challenge? So there's been a lot of backlash to human-centered design, and we really try to combine human-centered design with systems thinking. So a lot of the tools that we teach are actually systems thinking tools, because we feel that in general, people that come to our program have some familiarity with human-centered design. The second day is the heart, which is really about engaging emotions and aiming for the why. And the last day is the hands, where we really work with rapid prototyping, iteration, journey mapping, and really throughout the program, we work a lot in this. And one of the things that we have people do when they come to the course is we have them really critically think, where do they need to grow? Where are they struggling? And so then this becomes, so we actually wear these badges throughout the course so that everyone can see what you are working on. Where's your growing edge? Are you someone that needs to work on bringing more heart into your work, or someone that needs to bring your hands, right? And it's amazing because so many people, they struggle like hell to actually put things into practice, to actually use their hands and actually to iterate and prototype. It's like like pulling teeth for some people. I mean, it's insane. You know, people in really high positions that are just can't test things fast.
Edgar's got this saying, do not talk. Sometimes when people hear that, they freak out a little bit. It's like, what? But it's really about taking action. The course about experience design, it sounds like you're alluding to the fact that you are continuously designing the experience Absolutely. Of the course as well.
Yeah, and that's very conscious. And we show people as well how the course has been built up as a designed experience so that we can reflect on that. One of the most interesting things is that when we design a short experience for them, then we have them reflect and draw out what they experienced is always mind-blowing to people. They feel like, yeah, but you didn't experience this? What? And then, you know, their partner's like, no, I didn't even see the red balloons. I was listening to the music. I think that is a very core, you know, learning when we, as an experience designer, and something that we have to accept is that we cannot design experiences. It's impossible to design an experience. And when you really accept that, that's the most empowering thing. And you realize you have to co-create it, and you realize you have to really care about what the customer is thinking. You have to engage them in the development of the experience. Really great.
You don't design an experience, you design for an experience. And if you are really focused on a certain deep need that people have, like, for example, the need for joy or the need for stimulation, then you can hope that at some point you will reach the elements of this experience, but they are not going to be the same for every person who is there. So you can create a platform rather than an experience.
There's a beautiful description, Aga. Like, I love that, designing for an experience. You know, we work a lot with the metaphor of an ecosystem in a way that you want a lot of different touch points that can interact, going in line with this brand voice, high concept, as we call it. The transformational moments, the meaningful moments will be different for everyone, but you've created this sort of context with which hopefully you can empower people to create their own experience, so to speak. And this is something that I'm really interested in, the nature of experience. One of the best places to look for understanding the human experience is actually the art world, because art is all about experience. And there's a lot of really good writing about the human experience from the art world. One of my favorites is Art as Experience by John Dewey, which is very much saying that we create our own experience. And then you have the newest neuroscience. What the newest neuroscience is very, very clearly saying is that we create our own experience to a much larger degree than we could have previously thought or understood. Yeah, one of my favorite things I learned recently, actually, and this is also from reading this artistic perspective on experience, is the etymology of the word experience. Experience comes from experiment. So before the 1800s, people thought of the word experience as the deepest way of knowing something. So to experience something yourself was the deepest possible way you could know something. And it was the, sort of the deepest truth. And what's happened with the scientific revolution coming after the 1800s is that we have taken the value out of our own experience. We have said, you know, where's the hundreds of people? Where's the numbers that I can validate this with? Another book that really inspired me recently is Sense Making, The Power of the Humanities in the Age of the Algorithm. The title says it all right there, is that we need to go back to trusting our own sense making as human beings. And this is part of the craft of an experience designer. We need to really be aware of, be connoisseurs of, what are we experiencing? Why are we experiencing that? How did I get this specific feeling right now? How is this built up? My recommendation is to keep an experience notebook, recording your own experiences and trying to understand it for yourself, because we really have to understand it ourselves before we start going around and trying to put other people's experiences in order if we don't even understand it ourselves. It's a very ancient philosophy, right? Put your own house in order before you go trying to put other people's house in order. So get your own experience together before you go trying to put other people's experience together.
Was there a piece of advice that you got that's as a professional that stayed with you?
It's not a specific piece of advice, so to speak, but something that is very, very much part of the KS Pilot culture is to have mentors to guide you in your development. And that would be my advice, is to get a mentor, have mentors. I've had different mentors throughout my life. All of them have helped me in enormous ways. I think that there's something incredibly learningful about that relationship where you can share with someone very openly your challenges that you're having, and that also that personalness that someone knows you and knows sort of your story. And so when you bring something in front of them, they have that context, that rich data, so to speak, with which to help you with. And also someone who's just been through it, is older than you, is wiser, has much more sort of years of experience. One thing I would say about it is it's hard. It's hard to have a mentor. It's a conscious relationship. You have to design and concrete tool again is, it's called the Blueprint of We. You can download it online, and it's just a series of questions that you can go through with someone to create an intentional relationship. And I would recommend that.
Education for experience design. It all goes in the direction of on the job. You are learning by doing, you are learning by experiencing and becoming a reflective professional who understands why things happen the way they happen. The thing is that, I don't know how it is in Denmark, but in Poland, design education is still very much about making products. How do you see the need for the design education to change?
Well, one of the things that we need to focus on more is the design of the designer. So rather than going immediately into product design, spending time to cultivate yourself in a way, or that the design of external things needs to happen with an internal process of your view, your lens with which you look out on the world that you're designing. So I would say that that's very important to connect those two things. Another thing that is incredibly important when we are designing learning experiences to learn how to be a designer is sort of the social geography, or the social relationships, the fabric of relationships that are around the education, which are supporting your goals and creating this, again, ecosystem of support for the person. So having mentors, having peer groups, very much focusing on face-to-face work with the person that you're designing for, really meeting with and interacting with the people that you're designing for. The disappointments that I have with human-centered design right now is that much human-centered design is being used to purely serve a capitalistic perspective, which ultimately is not necessarily human-centered. The biggest companies that are hiring experience designers are banks. So Adaptive Path is one of the most legendary experience design agencies in San Francisco, and they were bought by Capital One Bank. Barclays Bank in London hires the most experience designers in London, for example. And then what these people's job is to maybe make people spend a little bit longer on their banking app, which ultimately is not a human-centered thing. And not to say that you can't, I mean, a lot of, you know, banking is terrible and it should be made more human-centered, right? But that we sort of lose touch with the overall experience of what it means to be a human. And so when you focus on designing one specific thing, I think what we get is everyone addicted to their smartphones, which is, you know, this global sort of epidemic, right? And that was done by human-centered designers.
Design is a tool, like technology, can be used for better and for evil. Many designers don't realize that we are using the skills that we've got, which are really powerful, because we are able to understand what people need. And instead of using them for the sake of the people we are designing for, we are using it for the sake of the companies. So I understand, where does that come from?
We work with a framework from Nathan Shedroff called the Core Meaning Framework. And he did research with 300,000 people all around the world. And he found that there's these 15 core meanings that are universal, that are these deep, deep things that you can design for, such as community, duty, enlightenment, beauty. These are these meanings that we can get from an experience that is really the deepest place to aim for. And I think we need to really refine that focus on aiming for these deep things, and also putting that into a systemic perspective, and not becoming sort of pigeonholed into, yes, it's a meaningful experience that lasts for 15 seconds and it doesn't really fit into the rest of the flow of the user's life. I've been really inspired by this philosophical movement right now called metamodernism. One of the fundamental things that they say is that we need to focus on human development. We solve the problems that we know how to solve, not necessarily the problems we have. As a society, we are facing incredibly complex problems that do not fit into the silos of a single organization today. So when we start trying to solve those interconnected problems from a simplistic point of place, we're just going to create more problems. If we do not very seriously take the need for human beings to develop more complexity of the way that they think, which I think a very concrete way to do that is to learn systems thinking, then we're only going to continue to create more and more problems. And not that I believe you can get rid of problems. Every solution to a problem will become another problem eventually. There's no getting rid of problems. It's a Japanese philosopher that said that you can't solve problems. You can only hope to create a better problem.
I think that this is the perfect moment to ask this question. If design is to change the world, how can people get involved?
Very concretely, after I have become an experience designer, I have stopped giving my family and my loved ones physical objects, and instead I've given them experiences. And there's mountains of science to show that experiences make people far more happy than physical objects. The first experience that I gave in this way was to my family. I had them reserve a period of time. And then the night before the experience, I had them light off a lantern into the sky, and they still didn't know what was to come. And then the next day, they took this walk down to the river where they met my grandfather, and my grandfather told them some stories about his life. And then they went to one of their good friends where she had very kindly prepared a nice dinner. While that was happening, I worked with this team of helpers to light hundreds and hundreds of candles on this path down to this valley. And then down there, I had invited maybe around 30 of their sort of closest friends and family. So then they came down and we had some apple cider and we lit lanterns with our wishes into the sky. It took much more energy than buying a physical object, but it was absolutely amazing experience and gave so much to them and gave so much to me as well.
Something that I think is quite insightful is that you said you also pulled value away for yourself. And I think there's a little bit of a gold in there, because as experience designers, if you're able to create these things, there is going to be a reward back for you or for the team that you work with.
Very spot on. Yeah, exactly. As you say, sort of a golden insight. The Dalai Lama, he says, strive to do things that are intrinsically motivating. He calls it enlightened self-interest. So when you are helping others, it is the best way possible, especially for designers, because as designers, we are setting in motion the external world, which will then design everyone else. And so if we are not aware of this, sort of the complexity and the nuance of what we are doing, it can be very potentially harmful, right? I mean, our biggest challenges as a humanity right now, climate change, inequality, insane amounts of plastic, right? This are all created from human beings, right? Our biggest challenges are our own creation now. Everything, all of those problems, they come from previous solutions. And now as we begin to design exponential technologies and these insanely powerful things, if we are not more aware of the potential implications and the complexity of what we're doing, we're going to create even more complex challenges than we have today. So I think it's fucking important.
In your perception, what is the future of design?
So the future of design is designing both externally more complex things, such as designing culture, designing organizations, designing customer experiences, but it's also equally an internal challenge, design challenge, which is to design yourself so that you are negating as much as possible your biases so that you are able to handle as much complexity as possible.
You mentioned quite a few books already. Is there a book that you would recommend?
How Emotions Are Made. It will really challenge to think more broadly about what they are designing for when you're designing for an experience, and also challenge the idea that you can design experience at all. Like,
what is your mission statement as an experience designer?
To design experiences that enable people and organizations to grow.
If you were to recommend anything to the experience designers of today, what would it be?
Cultivate your own experiential view of the world to understand your own experiences in a deep way as a means of understanding how to design experiences for others that will be meaningful for them. The other practical thing I would say is to look at how other industries are working with experience design. One of the best metaphors that I have come up with recently for how experience design is changing is to look at functional food. So why would you just eat food when you could eat food that is also medicine? What people will increasingly expect from the experiences that they get is the same thing that we are increasingly expecting from food. It's like, why would I just have a good experience when I could also have an experience that makes me grow, that makes me a better person? So looking for where we can add extra value to people, planet, and profit.
Thank you.
We need people like you. And Andy, once again, thanks for your time.
Thank you guys so much. It's been absolutely such a pleasure.
That was Aga and Werner in the Catching the Next Wave podcast, and we will be back.